College Football Analyst presented by Peterbrook Chocolatier. Travis Ryer, hope you're doing well. Welcome into the game in T-Town.
Hey, Ryan, how we doing?
Good. Big win for the Crimson Tide in Knoxville.
Yes, it was. Perhaps not the start-to-finish performance that we had seen the week earlier, but I don't know if that was ever a realistic possibility of duplicating that. I don't know if we'll go a few years before we see another performance like that, but all in all, a solid performance on the road and the kind I think this team needed moving forward.
The 27 early points in that football game, in your opinion, what happened to make them relax? Obviously the score, but it's also concerning because against good football teams, that score may not be as big, but you just sort of relax. And I thought Alabama really got complacent in that football game.
Yeah, again, I don't know how realistic it was to think that they could just keep rolling for four more quarters like they did the week earlier. And for the first 17 minutes or so Saturday night, it really was just a continuation from what we saw against Texas A&M. But I do think human nature sort of plays into it from time to time. There are those special weeks where you're able to stay locked in for 60 minutes, even when you do jump out to a big lead. But they had a dip. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But, I think it also gave them the opportunity to sort of find out about themselves a little bit in the third quarter, especially after Tennessee cut it to a 10-point game at 27-17. But then the offense answered the bell, especially without Cameron Robinson on the field at left tackle, to answer that Tennessee touchdown with a very impressive drive that included four third-down conversions. I thought was, the way it ultimately played out was probably a good thing, especially for that offense.
Let me go to Amari Cooper in just a couple of minutes. What a day, but, it seems like every Monday I say, wow, what a game by Amari Cooper. He just continues to roll forward and now writing his name in the history books at the University of Alabama.
Yeah, and he's doing it against really good defenses for the most part. For whatever you think of Tennessee, defensively, that's a solid football team. And Cameron Sutton, the sophomore corner, was coming off a very good performance against Ole Miss. And so that was a matchup that was really being talked about last week. And, Cooper proceeded to just absolutely leave him on a 41-yard touchdown catch there. So he hasn't just done it against weak competition for sure. Probably his worst game. I don't think there's any probably about it. But, his least productive game against Arkansas was probably against the one secondary that, he probably should have lit up. So, he's been very good against guys like Vernon Hargraves. Again, last week against the solid Tennessee secondary. And, you kind of just keep wondering when it's going to come to a halt. But I really don't think that's going to be the case at this point.
Let me go to the defensive side of the football, because I think Reggie Ragland has developed into that. He may not be there yet, but he's obviously moving towards that alpha dog on that defensive side of the football. He leads the team in tackles at 56, now becoming a member of the semifinalist list, only 15 players in college football for the Butkus Award, which C.J. Mosley won last year. He's starting to anchor that defensive side of the football. Reggie Ragland.
He really is, and he's making plays in every facet of the game. And I think he felt like going into the season that he would be fine against the run, but there were questions about what he could do perhaps in space and also in coverage. But he showed you on Saturday night that he's able to a very nice pass breakup, and then also forcing the fumble from Joshua Dobbs, the Tennessee quarterback, out in the flat. So he's really done it all, and you're seeing them try to come up with ways to keep him on the field instead of getting him out of there, even in the dime package. We've seen him line up on the edge now in a couple different games as a pass rusher, sort of like what we used to see with Dante Hightower. So that's a good sign as a player when they're trying to figure out a way to keep you on the field and all the different packages they play. Sort of tells you about the talent Reggie Ragland has.
Let's move forward. Let's talk about LSU for a couple of minutes. I know it's a night game, 7 o'clock. We're still a couple of weeks away, but there's some injury concerns coming out of the Tennessee game. Cam Robinson, probably the one that jumps out to you immediately from the left tackle position. I thought Leon Brown played very well under the circumstances there. But let's talk about Alabama moving forward against LSU.
Yeah, you know, I think the bye week really does come at a good time for the reason you just mentioned, among others, and that's health. I really doubt at this point that we'll see Cameron Robinson against LSU, so that will give them a chance to really rep up Leon Brown at left tackle, and it's a position he's played in the past, so I think that had a lot to do with his ability to sort of jump in there Saturday night and give them what he did at that spot. And at the same time, I thought Bradley Bozeman stepped right in there at right guard, and you didn't lose anything. When you look at it, they actually ran for more yards with that reshuffled offensive line than they did during the time that they had their usual five out there. So that was very good news. But, just from a health standpoint, it's not just, you know, guys like Robinson that you hope for almost a miraculous recovery at this point. But, you know, Austin Shepherd wasn't at 100%. I thought that was pretty obvious Saturday night. We saw some issues for him that we just don't usually see from the redshirt senior. So he could also use this time to get that knee and ankle that he had rolled in the A&M game a lot closer to 100%. But this is a week that you got to use wisely, because we all know what a week from Saturday night is going to be like in Baton Rouge. It's not going to be a place for the faint of heart or those who do not like physical football. It's going to be very much a line of scrimmage game. So you really need to use this week and going into next week is time to get those guys, both on the offensive and defensive lines, as good to go as you possibly can.
Looking at LSU, they've got the momentum now, but there's some question marks. Stopping the run for LSU is not very good statistically speaking, and that may not say a lot because I'm not sure exactly how many really running teams that they face, but statistically they're not very good in stopping the run. Maybe that's an emphasis as Alabama goes forward. But is it fair to say that this is the biggest challenge left on the schedule, is going to Baton Rouge and playing LSU?
I think in terms of going on the road, obviously it is. I mean, it's all that's really left. But, I still think when I look at Mississippi State and I look at Auburn, I still see what I believe to be more complete football teams. Certainly when you look at the quarterback situations and the potential for problems that, you know, Nick Marshall and Dak Prescott can cause Alabama, it's far greater to me than what Anthony Jennings is going to pose a week from Saturday night. It's still, like I said, going to be just an absolutely physical football game. And LSU, you kind of saw this coming. We had talked about it, that, you know, Alabama wasn't going to see the same LSU team that Mississippi State saw in September, or Auburn saw even, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago. You knew this team, this LSU team, was too talented to continue to kind of wallow around and not make strides. Well, they've done that. That said, it's still what I believe to be a good matchup for Alabama, because unless Jennings really plays above what we've seen from him to date, they're going to be kind of one-dimensional. And as big as that win was against Ole Miss, you know, they did it with 10 points. And I think Alabama offensively on the other side, as you said, sort of does match up well, even if Cameron Robinson can't go. I still think it's a situation where Alabama is going to move the ball with greater consistency, and then it becomes a question of just cashing in. And let's face it, you know, Ole Miss had its opportunities the other night, as did LSU. If Alabama can continue to take care of third downs and red zone opportunities, I think they have a good shot in Baton Rouge.
Playoff committee, tomorrow. It's been the topic of conversation here. I've tried to convince Alabama fans to pull for Auburn to take it out of the selection committee's hands. If Auburn beats Ole Miss on the road in Oxford, then if Alabama wins out, then you go to Atlanta and you can represent and try to go win an SEC. I've not had a lot of luck in convincing Alabama fans to do that. But I've got a couple of riders on the bus, but not very many. Let me ask you about the selection committee. Do you trust them?
No. And we talked about this, what, 7, 8, 9 months ago?
Sure.
I think that when it's all said and done, the SEC in general may really wish that this was what we had before. Because whatever you think of how it played out before, the system typically got the top two teams right. And I have to believe that the previous system would have gotten certainly the top four right. You add the human element like we're going to do here. I don't trust the right thing being done if it comes down to it. And that is, if there's 2 1-loss SEC teams, I don't trust that both will get in. And that should be pretty much an automatic, in my opinion. But I don't see it happening. And you know, we're going to hear a lot tomorrow, and it's going to be a great, you know, it's going to be a great conversation driver for your show and others and my website and others. But the reality is, you know, we're still going to need 2, 3, maybe even the remainder of the regular season to really sort all this out. And it'll take care of itself, I think. You know, I agree. I think if you're Alabama and you're an Alabama fan, you like to see Ole Miss get that second loss as soon as possible and go ahead and sort of, you know, set the table for the run to Atlanta. But again, I think whether it's this week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks from now, if Alabama keeps winning, I think the rest of it will take care of itself.